What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. Mike Bell, is it time? Is it time to start talking about real change with this Braves team as they come back home against the Phillies tonight? Because, Mike, we are not going anywhere. We're not moving in the direction that we need to move in. And what I mean by that, guys, is a few weeks ago we were talking about us being 11, 12 out. We're still 10 games out after going to New York and beating the Mets twice, losing twice. Yeah. And we come home, Mike, this is a 500 team.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got half your teams batting like, 200. You know, if Acuna doesn't hit and Olsen doesn't hit, you're dead in the water. You know, and it was a good effort from Grant Holmes last night. I think that's certainly respectable. You can't argue with what he was doing. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a few more games with the Phillies. How's that? And then I'll pronounce his team DOA.
Are you going to be?
And then I'll say fire sale.
I was going to say absolutely. So, are you saying this weekend will make you? We'll have you make that decision.
We're going to make or break because the thing is, Braves fans can look at it and say, "Hey, Dukes and Bell, stop being glass half empty. Just seven games back in the wild card." The shining point about that is with the Brewers and the Padres and the Giants and the Cardinals ahead of us, who are all a lot better than us. So that's part of that, And then you get into, can you win this division? Yes, we know that the Mets have shown the ability to blow it. But once again, the Mets are back in first. Philly's in a swoon. It's funny how the Mets and Phillies kind of swap both taking a dive for a week or two, right? So the Phillies are 500 the last week. Mets are 3-7. That's why you needed to take 3 out of 4. I know it's just one game, but a split up there is a net loss for the Braves. That's how I feel.
How does this team not draw a walk last night? Not one! How is that possible when the bullpen has to pitch 6 1/3 innings, your starting pitcher, don't wish bad luck on anybody, blows an Achilles, and the pin comes in, and you can't draw a walk?
It's funny. We do these show meetings around 11 o'clock. Eventually, we're going to put these things on social media. You're going to see a podcast on this. They're working on it. It's going to come soon. But we were doing our meeting today, and I had the earbuds in, and I got like these hoopty earbuds. They're like replacements for the Apples. So they're not the real good ones, right? So I can barely hear. Now I'm the guy at the gym. Like the guy on the plane. No, we just landed. So now I'm the guy loud talking at the gym. So we're having this meeting, and I say on the conference call, I go, I was kind of half kidding a few months ago, but what the hell is Tim Hyers doing? And all of a sudden, Lee, one of my buddies, is on the Stairmaster, goes, in the background, yeah. Because you got a hitting instructor. We fired a third base. We demoted a third base coach. Let's have a conversation about a hitting instructor who comes in here and the team can't hit, let alone walk. What's the approach? I mean, hell, we go through hitting instructors like socks in this franchise history. Who is giving this information to turn things around with these guys, Carl Dukes?
I don't know. And are you sure you want to wait till the weekend? 404-726-0929. That is our number. It's Friday. Look, I would love to come in here and tell you guys that I have complete and full confidence in where this team is headed. I don't. This is a 500 team. Snit, love you. No, you've done everything you could possibly do. If it wasn't for Ronald Acuna, real talk, where would we be? If he wasn't doing the miraculous things that he's doing, and Dede, let me bring you in real quick. Dede, as our executive producer, did you tell me that Ronald Acuna right now has a better what? OPS, WAR, every particular stat that you can look at, better than Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman?
Correct, and he's just a smidge under Juan Soto.
In less games.
Right.
Where would we be? So as we talk about this team and the desire to move up in the standings, Olsen 1-for-4, his on-base streak at 27 games, which is the longest active streak in baseball. Whoop-dee-doo!
Yeah.
Because you can't hit enough to drive runs in, and you're not drawing any walks. And last night, again, it's these little segments that happen throughout the season where you go, that's been happening all year. We just had a deep conversation yesterday about Money Harris. And do we have an issue with Money Harris and how he doesn't draw walks and how he's not hitting? And last night you get a bullpen that's been struggling. It's not as if the Mets have the best bullpen. They've been struggling, and they come in just getting guys out. 404-726-0929. You guys can tell us what you think.
Things were so bad. The Braves game was so bad. And
how bad was it?
My wife's like, hey, there's this movie on Apple that I really wanted to see. I'm like, what's it called? She goes, it's called Echo Valley. I go, what is it? She goes, oh, it's kind of a thriller. I go, well, who's in it? She goes, well, Julianne Moore? I'm like, okay.
I love Julianne Moore.
She goes, Sydney Sweeney. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Sydney Sweeney. Now I'm, you know, I mean, Dominic bought like her bathwater and soap. Remember that?
I tried to. I couldn't.
Oh, yes. Right. He couldn't get it. Like, he was on hold for like 2 weeks to try
but
to get it.
But he's still in queue right now. Right. He's in the queue.
So I'm like, okay, the Braves game is terrible. I mean, I DVR every Braves, every Hawks game, so I can always, you know, go through it. And I said, I'll watch it later. And this movie was so freaking bad. I mean, I'll tell you what. If you don't think Sydney Sweeney is a good actress, she is so good playing a horrible person in this movie. You'll be like, wow. But the movie, you knew where this was going like in 5 minutes. And then there's the worst part. So I'm on the couch, right? And I got the dog between my wife and I. And I'm giving it the old college try. I'm watching this movie. I'm getting so disinterested. I'm trying to stay with it. And then I look over. The wife falls asleep.
Oh.
I'm in an hour and 45. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Because she always gets on my case about, you know, because I always go, I know where this, shut up, let me watch the movie. So not only do I mean, the Braves are so bad, I lost an hour and 45 minutes. I could have watched Godfather. I could have watched The Bridge Too Far. I could have watched something on the History Channel. No, the Braves are ruining my life, Carl, right now.
You're not the only one. And by the way, the worst part of that movie is the way it ends.
Yes.
You're sitting there and you're going, that's it?
Yes.
Like, trust us on this, okay? I did the same thing 2 weeks ago when this movie came out. I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, I'm all in. Sydney Sweeney and your vast stuff. I'm watching this. The movie ends, and I'm like, that's there's nothing worse where there's no closure, where there is you're just leaving this open, and the mom is getting abused by her child. I go, come on, finish this thing.
Yes, again, guys, from Dukes and Bell, Echo Valley, don't watch it. Thank you. There's Dukes and Bell, two thumbs down.
Look. Great actors, but yes. the whole putting the plot together thing. Yeah. Eh.
And Domhnall Gleeson, who's a great Irish actor, his dad, Brendan Gleeson, you recognize him from Star Wars. And other. He's good character actor.
She hooked him up, didn't she?
Yeah, and he's in it too. But you just got to. But
that
again,
was the best part.
But that was the thing with the Braves. It's like, my wife, with all due respect, honey, if you're listening, she gets me into these movies and I'm like, oh, I just don't want to watch this. And I'm trying to give it the try. Yeah. You know, because she has to sit through all the stuff I like. But that was horrible.
All right. Where are you guys at? You watching bad movies as well? Outside of trying to watch the Braves who lose 4-0 to the Mets. The series, by the way, you know, again, it looked promising the first two games. But as I keep saying, and everybody keeps, what do you want? I love it when people tell me that. What do you want? We have to win series.
Yes. I mean, just split. Don't you feel like splitting? It feels like a net loss. I mean, At the end of the day, you're right back. I mean, yes, kids, when you play four games against a team ahead of you and you split, you're right back where you started when you first checked into the hotel in New York. So that's where we're living. This team can't hit. No, it's not Snicker's fault. It's not AA's fault. But he did give some of these guys contracts, and they're not living up to those contracts.
Yeah. The frustrating thing is last night, and look, everybody was talking about it. Matt Olson was saying, look, I don't know what happened, but we didn't hit enough. That has become this year's theme. We haven't hit enough. We don't hit enough. We don't score enough. We don't hit enough. I'm not repeating myself. Go back to every series that we've lost or every – we didn't hit enough.
It's not enough.
Snit. What's going on? I don't know. We're not scoring enough. That's the theme of this season. Am I wrong? 404-726-0929. Follow Mike, by the way, on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. And follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Of course, this radio station at 929, The Game. And look, if you've seen a bad movie recently, just tell us, okay? Because Mike's right about that. I hadn't brought it up because it was bad. I was mad about the ending. So I hadn't even brought it up.
I mean, and that's the thing.
But the fact that your wife fell asleep, that's even worse.
That's the thing. I'm like, I sat through this. You know, it's like what's that scene from Goodfellas? Really, you know, I got to worry about getting whacked on the street to come home to this.
To this. That's right. Mean?
That's the way I was last night. So Becky has lost all movie suggestion. There's only a few days left in the month. Usually we get two or three suggestions, but she's lost again. I'm no more privileges for watching movies than Becky. I mean, that movie was horrible.
And this is another example, by the way.
And Julianne Moore is older, and I get
she's
it.
She's great.
They wanted to make it look natural, and you don't want to be, you know, because she's an amazing actress, and I love a lot of things she's done. But I can't help but say to myself, wow, Julianne Moore doesn't look good, you know.
Julianne Moore?
She didn't look good.
No, because she's a torn up mom whose kid is a wreck.
They're playing her, but I'm like, I'm used to Julianne Moore looking a little hotter.
Being sexy.
You know? Yes. I mean, Julianne Moore is the president in Hunger Games. Yes.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying.
She didn't have time to get her hair done in this movie.
she is a mom character. Who is literally
she's
being
been through
drugged.
The ringer. She's yes. been through the ringer.
And that is that. Right. I think that was part of this. But I agree with you. And that's probably why I was attracted to watching this. With that said, though, this is another thing about previews. These trailers, I hate you, trailer folks. These trailers, Mike, when you watch that trailer, and the music, everything, right? It's like,
doom, doom.
And you're like, what is this?
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, the way they play it out in the previews or the trailer, it made me want to watch it. Anyways, how many times have you been sucked in like that with the trailer?
Right.
You know? I mean, like, you're like, ooh, that looks good.
Matt just hit me up and goes, after a couple of years, you know, he's listening to me. He goes, I think that Sweeney's just, doesn't think she's that talented. And I say, no. She's good in this. I mean, in a sense that you can be such a sexy actress and play a character that you literally want to reach through the television and choke out, and that's what she does in this movie. So, I mean, to me, that's acting, right?
She's the worst child you right. ever could imagine. That's what I would say. And when you think about her as we see her, I mean, we got, again, Dominator trying to get her bathwater. You would not imagine her being able to pull this role right. off. To Mike's point, she pulls it off. All right, man.
By the way, guys are reacting. And it's mostly, if you women like the movie, everyone else is going, horrible, never, no.
Yeah. Look,
I checked, one guy says I checked out 15 minutes in. Because the first 15 minutes, you do want to kill Sydney Sweeney's character.
The thing, too, for the ladies who loved it or whatever, I get it. There might be a mom connection to this. Because right. really, the plot is, guys, you'll do anything for your kids.
Right.
That's really what this is, right? And everybody who says, oh, if my child did that, I would never. You'll do some crazy things when it comes right. to your kids. That's really what this is. So if there are some women out there who feel that, I get it. But I'm with Mike on this. I'm telling you, when they ended, I wanted to throw something at the TV. I was like, did you leave me hanging like this? All right. We got more to get to. Phillies in town, guys. 3-game series. We are 10 games back. We are a 500 team. We're coming back. We got to talk about what's going on elsewhere, including day 2, Mike, of the NBA draft.
Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly.
NBA fever.
Catch it. Well, guess who was at his introductory press conference today? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Friday, everybody. He could be gallivanting across the country or the world, for that matter. But he was here. As Jay-Z says, you could have been anywhere in the world. Are you surprised Trae Young was at Asa Newell's introductory press conference? He's sitting, or was, just a few hours ago, front row. And the only reason I bring this up, Mike, is because everybody talks about the kind of teammate Trae is or the perceived teammate he is.
Right.
I don't know if he knows this cat. But here he is supporting the first pick for the Hawks this year and being there.
It's the thing that we used to get into a lot of arguments with some of the Hawks fans in the audience over about leadership and what does that mean? Because sometimes it's a gray area. You can't define it. But just, you know, being that guy, being the dude who is the man on that team, like the way he was palling around with Reece Hoshea, taking Reece Hoshea to an Oklahoma game, you know, getting him acclimated. In this case, doesn't have to be here. But that's a guy like, hey, it's my team. Going to be there to welcome this young man in. And that is pretty cool. And that's the kind of thing. It's little things. Now, again, maybe it doesn't mean anything to some guys out there because I know some folks call the standards have fallen. But to me, you know, I do like to hear that. And that's the kind of stuff that, you know, I think is great. And right. and lets me believe that Trae does, you know, feel maybe these guys aren't, you know, the worm is turned. They are trying to put something around me. And again, AC Newell is going to take some time. But, hey, I like it.
I do, too. And that's why we're bringing it up. We're bringing it up because if you want to be, where was Trae? Right. And by the way, he has no obligation to be here. Zero. Okay, this is guys, the veterans, this is their offseason. I see what my team does. I applaud. I put it on social media. Like he tweeted at Porzingis, right? Great. But right. he's here. And I thought that was pretty cool for Trae Young to say, hey, Mike's right. It's my team. 404-726-0929. By the way, I love our listeners because we were talking about that movie, Mike. What's it called again? What's the movie called?
That's Echo Valley yes. on Apple.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Yo said, you want to see a really bad movie? Hold my beer. And I scroll down and it's a Atlanta United final score, 3-1. Yeah, he's talking about watching
against
Atlanta
Columbus.
United.
Man, you know, it's funny because we talked about, we really have not spent a lot of time because there's not much to spend time on, but Miguel Almiron, arguably one of the most beloved players right up there with Joseph, you know, maybe he's the number one beloved, United player of all time. He's not good. And he was riding the bench. I always felt like he was miscast at Newcastle United. and that they somehow they had a bunch of different managers that came in that didn't appreciate his brilliance, kind of the way Christian Pulisic was treated at Chelsea, for those that are soccer fans. And I said, hey, someday the worm will turn. Nah, he ain't got it. Whatever he had here, he can't even muster enough to be elite in MLS, which is kind of embarrassing if we're honest. So, and that's good money. It's not like, you know, as you said, it's not like it's a nostalgia tour. He was expected to produce.
You ready to fire sale that thing?
Nobody will take him because of the price. And, you know, the effort is not commiserate with the price tag.
Fire sale it. Fire sale.
I love Miggy, you know, but Garth.
What about the team? Are you ready to fire sale the squad?
Garth, I thought we all signed off on the moves Garth made, but they're not working. So then the next guy is Ronnie Dyla. Because you can't fire the team, you can fire the coach. And unlike, you know, talking about Snicker or, you know, in basketball, soccer coaches are literally fired every other day on this planet. So that will be the next step. And I like, you and I were both impressed with our conversation with Ronnie Dyla, but I don't know. The message ain't getting through, and the strategy isn't working.
No, it's not. All right, man. We were just talking about bad movies.
That's United.
I thought that was pretty funny. Right. All right, we got a lot more to dive into. More on our Braves, who are back home taking on the Phillies tonight. Are we within striking distance? Yes. We got to win series. We just didn't win the series that looked like it was promising up there in New York. And we'll dive into tonight's matchup, the rotation and such. But Ronald Acuña is just he's on another level, man. And as I said earlier when we started the show, where would we be without him? If he wasn't doing what he's doing, if he's not producing what he's doing, what's this offense look like? Seriously. What's this offense look like? So, you know, and it's unfair because he's been so ridiculously good. It's almost like we just expect him to, one, get on base, cause havoc, score a run or two, drive in a couple of runs. All right, we're going to be all right because he's doing all those things. And I keep saying he needs help. But this return for Ronald Acuña, we'll break down the numbers for you coming up, is pretty impressive.
You know, the Braves had a chance to really, really mess up the Mets even more than they already had. Yeah. And they've been beating them every game they played. And then you give them the two wins. And now the Mets are feeling a little bit better about themselves. They got some momentum. You know, they also remember all that time I spent talking about Canning, the pitcher we let get away from the Angels, was here for a minute. He blew out his Achilles, it looks like, last night. You get to the pen early, and you still couldn't put a dent in the Mets. So the Braves team, you know, because of the way things did it worked in 21 and the way they battled back to win the division in 22, there's a lot of Braves Nation right now that says we can still do this. I just don't know when this team is going to hit. I mean, I'm ready to trade Ozzie, but who take him, right? I mean, you know me, how I feel about Sean Murphy and exploring all these options, but there's just so much of this team that doesn't hit. We spent a lot of time yesterday on Money Harris. Everybody loves him. Even the most diehard Money Harris fan out there saying he maybe needs a trip to Gwinnett to get his head right. They'll never do it, though.
They should. They should. And look, I'm over this. We got to allow him to work his way through this. Mm. Well, how long? Like, are we going to get to the end of July and he's hitting 130? His OPS is below 500? Like, how long?
Right.
So that is the question that I am wondering about now. And again, that to me is not on snit. Like, you can do all the things, Mike, and trust me. I've seen it with my own eyes. Guys at the ballpark 2-3 hours beforehand, in the cages, working on things. There's so much more now that they're accessible to with video. And you can do all of that. But it still comes down to getting in the box and getting hits. That's what it comes down to. And he's just not doing that. And I said, I think personally it's a confidence issue. I don't know that. But when you get into these slumps and it just drags on like it has for Michael, it feels like, all right, bro, you got to get your confidence back. And the only way you do that, Mike, is just start hitting. All right, we got plenty more Braves to get to. My man Dominator's behind the glass, and Day-Day is executive producing. Lots going on in the world of sports. 4th and 1's coming up. We will let you hear what potentially the new Saints quarterback has to say. But first, we've got to get to the Daily Download. Last night,
story number one,
was the second round of the NBA draft, Mike.
What? I was watching Echo Valley. I'm sorry.
If you thought you were not compelled by the first round with all the activity that was going on, and really, as Mike pointed out yesterday, none of the draft necessarily had anything to do about the players. Players are fine. It was just discombobulated in the form and the formula of how you got to where you got. Anyways, second round last night, Johnny Broome. We talked about him, Auburn, right? And we were talking about he went 35th overall.
Goes to the Sixers.
He goes to the Sixers. And it's not a bad pick, but remember, everybody's like, oh, he's a first rounder. This is why, and there will be some gems in the second round. There will be some guys 2 years from now, we're like, oh, they picked him up in the second round. But the Suns, you know, they selected Rashear Fleming out of St. Joe's. He was the 31st pick. There were some guys. And by the way, the Hawks even signed Lamont Butler, kid out of Kentucky. He actually transferred into Kentucky last year. Two-way contract, Mike, so he can play with the Hawks and obviously the G League team. But you talked about backup point guards. This is a kid that plays point guard, and he's pretty good. Mm. Now, is he going to make a bid to be the backup for Trey? I don't know. But Lamont Butler can play.
I like that because I know Tyrese Proctor, we had talked about maybe if we had a second-round pick, maybe that'd be a guy from Duke. The dude, by the way, I mentioned to you yesterday a few times, Rocco Zacoski.
Rocco!
Only reason I know this is my buddy Jack from Down Under. There's a guy from Brisbane you got to check out for the Hulks. He thought, you know, if we had, maybe we take a flyer. Anyway, this big mutant, 7'3", goes to the Bulls. So we'll see if they let him play in Australia another year or they bring him to the States.
Everybody's still ranting and raving about our pick, though, man.
Hey, dude,
everybody.
The fact that we got a Georgia player for both the Falcons and a Georgia player, as we said yesterday, for the Hawks, and a Rodney DeBalzi brought that up, and then we were laughing because it's true, and it fits. And I love the attitude. And, you know, it's kind of like in the – there are Jalen Walker-like things you hear, and you'll hear that when you hear the conversation with Andy Randy will play for you.
Ansi Saleh, our general manager, was talking about Asa Newell's incredible competition as far as the competitor in him.
Yeah, he plays hard as hell. Like, if you guys have watched him this year, like, Asa is just an unbelievable competitor. He, if you watch him play or get up and down the court, screening, his intelligence, spacing, respacing, like the things that he does impacts winning. Like people could just look at scoring and box score, stuff like that. But the guy, he really helps with winning and creating a culture of winning for your programs.
You need those guys. You know, look, as much as you might hate Draymond, that's what Draymond does. Draymond, Mike, makes winning plays. Is he a jerk? Is he dirty at times? Yeah, and I'm not saying Ace is going to be any of that. What I'm saying is he affected winning when Golden State was going through those championships,
right.
And he did it in different ways. And you need guys like that. Here's what Saleh said about him and what stood out as far as Asa Newell when they watched him.
I mean, Asa, just the character of the person, the human being, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Right. And just like where the league is going, people's size, athleticism like that, they just make sense. We see it a lot in the playoffs right now. Yeah, he could stretch it out too on top of it. He's really talented. Great screener, great human being, ridiculous athlete, really smart player too.
As we said, that's the kind of, you know, we talked about all the intangibles when it came to like Jalen Walker. It's kind of cool, you know, and, you know, look, I mean, hopefully Mike White gets more guys like that. But unfortunately, in college basketball, guys like that don't stick around. You know, he's averaging 15 a night, had a couple of 20-point games. We talked everything you just heard Ansi say, can't wait. And how does he get, you know, kind of brought along? I don't know. That'll be up to, you know, Quinn Snyder and the staff. But I'm looking forward to seeing this guy out there. First thing will be the summer league.
Yeah, absolutely. While we're talking about some hoops, Ace Bailey. Has he reported to the Jazz yet? Because apparently he hasn't reported to the Jazz, Mike.
Did I read this right? His agent was trying to get paid for interviews? I mean, wow. I mean, look, you know, yes, I understand that you want to play the system, but it was funny. I saw some memes yesterday. Some guys, wow, Ace really thought it was like, you know, playing NBA 2K. You could pick your team.
Yeah, exactly. No, bro, it doesn't happen that way. Here's the deal. And the reason why this is a big deal, guys, is, look, our draft pick, we had an introductory press conference for him already, right? Guys have already made their way to their respective cities. What is Ace Bailey doing? And this is the kid Mike and I talked about that didn't want to be picked first, second, third. He was trying to choose his team, gets picked by the Jazz. And then as of Friday morning, all right, and it's 2:34 here in the A, he's yet to join his new team. What's going on?
So where are you going with this, son? You're gonna go back to college? Is that the play? You can do that. You can do that these days, right? Am I wrong? Right? Doesn't sound. I mean, hell, everything's so gray. I mean, I think you probably could if you wanted to go back to Rutgers.
Yeah. Omar Cooper declined comment when asked about the future star, Rutgers star, in being in Utah. That's his agent. Either way, it's not a good situation when you start talking about how this is starting for Ace Bailey. And I don't know where this goes, Mike, but you can go back to college because that's what's going to happen because they own your rights. You're not picking your team because you want to leave the Utah Jazz.
Look, I get it. There's always a lot of folks around the NBA and there's guys, you know, you can read the columnists and you know the agendas that are out there, whether, you know, you read and you're like, okay, I get where this guy's coming from. Clay Travis doesn't like the NBA, you know, or Jason Whitlock doesn't like the NBA, you know, for whatever reason. But the ratings were down. We knew it was going to be a small market affected ratings. Lowest ratings since 07 when the Spurs took on the young Cavs. Remember that one? And that was kind of a one-sided final. So you got that element. But I will say this. If you are trying to grow your brand and you want to put this product on television, to have Ace Bailey pulling that stuff and mean mugging, and then conversely, Colin Murray Boyle's going blank when he gets drafted by the Raptors as a top 10 pick. It's like, you know, there's guys that would give our entire audience, would give our left nut to have a lottery, you know, type salary as an 18 or 19-year-old. And so it just kind of, and look, I get it, the world has changed, but man, I think the optics on that were pretty awful at some point. Then meanwhile, on the other side, you had guys who were filled with emotion and were crying, and because the moment did mean that much to them. So it was a little give and take.
Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. When we come back, it happened again last night, and he wasn't wearing high tops. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Got a question for you. But before I ask you, we were talking in the break there about Ace Bailey. And look, you can play this game if you want. Apparently, he has not shown up to Utah for the Jazz, is not reported basically after being drafted, which is the norm, right? And we don't know. That may happen later today. But as of right now, and early this morning, certainly it hadn't happened. And Mike, you were talking to Day-Day about this. Tell our listeners what we were talking about.
First things first, you know, he wound up in McEachern. He grew up in Tennessee, and then he transferred as a freshman. So he's a local kid at Powder Springs. But I was asking Day-Day if you covered him in your high school travels. Day-Day does a lot of work with, you know, covering for radio and TV. So what was he like? What was the vibe?
I mean, he was a great kid, but I'll tell you this. This was after his junior year, the summer after his junior year, going into his senior year. And he already had a team around him then in terms of, you know, even, you know, wanting to do some interviews and things of that nature. So he's already kind of been in the situation of having people kind of placed around him to kind of, you know, start, you know, being, you know, getting him ready for what it was going to be.
Because he's got a one point, according to what I read just now, he's got a had a $1.6 million deal in NIL, Carl, from Rutgers. And he because that's the thing, no disrespect to Rutgers, but over Kentucky, over Texas, all the blue chips, Kansas, and he winds up, you know, in Jersey. So it is kind of interesting. And then he also has a big connection with Nike. So Nike's already got their tentacles on him. So I don't know if he's going to try to leverage that relationship, but it is interesting because, you know, if you don't like the NBA, as I said to Carl before the break, you know, it's like, it's wrong with sports. But then, you know, nowadays it's a new landscape. Could he actually go back to college, hone his skills, and then start the whole process all over, and the Jazz would get nothing? I'm sorry, Utah, not Jazz, but Utah, you know, would get zip because they have the rights for 1 year.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the plan. Look, we talked about this the other day when I said, you know, the money in college is great. It's not NBA money. It's not NFL money. And certainly the opportunities when you become a pro expand. I don't know what the mindset is here. And again, this is, to me, Mike, this is bad advice.
Yes.
This is whoever is in his ear and whoever is giving him the advice to not do this, because here's what you should do, or at least this is how he should go about it, and that is, Mike, report, play the game, even if you don't want to be there, and then behind the scenes, let it be known, but you hadn't played a game yet. We don't even know how good you're going to potentially be, and I just think, I said this to Mike, for those who don't know, Danny Ainge is a gangster. Danny Ainge does not care about what he wants or what he thinks he deserves. Danny Ainge is the guy who trades people like that, and he's also a guy that has, speaking of fleeced, Mike, fleeced multiple teams in getting players in the NBA over the years because he's just ruthless. So I don't know if this is a situation that he's going to end up winning.
So, again, if the NIL is worth 1.6 at Rutgers plus whatever Nike contract is, which could be substantial, according to the NBA website, right now the projections are $7.5 million for a fifth overall pick. And your first contract, a four-year rookie scale, would make $41.2 million.
He ain't getting that at Rutgers.
No. So, I mean, and the idea of the NBA is the sooner you start your NBA career, the sooner, if you're good, you get onto that the big money contract and so on and so on.
Yeah, which is why guys come out at 18, 19.
Right. So there's the math on it, because, again, McEachern kid, so just kind of curious how this plays and who's in his ear, as Day-Day said.
Bad advice, man, I think, at this point. Now, they could rectify this. Show up, apologize. Hey, you know what? We had a misunderstanding. But if he shows up with attitude, Mike, and, like, you know, don't want to talk, then it's just not going to go well. Let me ask you guys a question. We had another Achilles injury last night.
Yep.
If you watch the Braves game, Griffin Canning worked 2 2/3 innings and suffered a left ankle injury. It was a non-contact injury. Comes off the mound. Like, you've seen it enough now, sports fans, where you're like, ooh, that looks like an Achilles. You just felt like that.
Do you see the slow-mo of it? How the calf, like, there's a...
flexed.
I mean, the calf, it's like, it'll give you like the heebie-jeebies. But yeah, I said to Carl, this is the one guy I've been saying, hey, why do we pass on this dude? He hasn't been able to stay healthy. And for a guy that all of a sudden is having a career year with the Mets, you can imagine, like anybody else dealing with an Achilles, now you lost the season.
At least.
Lost a year.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal, though. We were talking about this the other day on Dukes and Bell. Hi, I'm Dukesy's Bell. And we said, what's going on in the NBA? And all of you guys, oh, you had 800 reasons. This is a Major League Baseball player. And we're seeing this more in baseball as well. We just happened to watch it because it was our Braves, right? That's the reason why we saw it. But Dame Lillard, Tatum, Halliburton, all in the playoffs this year. There were other players hurt in the regular season that we didn't pay attention to because, well, I wasn't watching. James Wiseman, DeJounte Murray got hurt with the Pelicans.
Right.
Isaiah Jackson, Drew Smith. There were tons of guys that had Achilles in the NBA, and we're all just like, yeah, it's no big deal. What is really going on here? And, Mike, when I said the other day, I think it's over usage, that they're playing all the time, they're pitching all the time, they're shooting. And
right.
This is another example. This kid's been trying to get there, Mike, and he finally gets his shot with the Mets, and he's pitching well, as you've alluded to, and then this freak thing happens. What is going on with all these Achilles injuries?
Yeah, man, and I don't know. I mean, in the old days, I used to work with Bo here in town. Bo Bach used to joke around me, you can never, Carl, underestimate the importance of a good stretch. And I don't know. And if Bo's listening, hey, man, I don't know. Because, you know, as you said, Griffin Canning, he's had a kind of a star-crossed career. He's dealt with a number of injuries over his career. And he was, you know, his ERA was over 5. That's, I think, why Alex Anthopoulos said thanks, but no thanks, after he traded Jorge Soler to the Angels to get him. But he's been on this amazing run. But, yeah, the players with basketball, it used to be, you know, you watch the Knicks. Like, for instance, you know, I grew up watching, like, those early 70s Knicks. Everybody was skinny. Nobody had muscle tone. I mean, the only guy that even remotely had muscle tone might have been Willis Reed or Walt Frazier. Even Pearl was kind of skinny. You know, Bill Bradley looked like
a regular dude.
Like literally like a dude who would sell insurance and play in a rec league. You know what I mean? Dave DeBuscher. I mean, all these guys smoked heaters. You know, I mean, it's like when you go back and you look at the old NFL, what those guys looked like, it's amazing. You know, you and I both interviewed the late, great Art Donovan, the book Fatso, and they talk about these guys sold appliances in the offseason and drank, like, they'd have to get in tremendous shape and take salt pills to make weight, you know, to play for the Colts in the old days. Now you almost wonder if they've taken physical training and the physiology and the body as far as it can go. You know, I mean, I'm at a loss. You asked for an explanation. It's almost like maybe we've taken the body as far as it can go and we've gone too far with it. We've run the rubber band too tight.
Adam Silver was asked this question draft night. Is the NBA paying attention to it? Look, MLB has its fair share of Achilles as well. And here's the deal. The motions are the same. We're talking about quick twitch movements.
Right.
Right? Balls hit. I got to move right or left. I'm coming off the mound. I got to react. That's part of this. Here's what Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said about Achilles.
We are looking at it. And in fact, we had already convened a panel of experts before Tyrese's most recent Achilles rupture. So we had 7 this year. We had 0 last year under the exact same circumstances. And the most we've ever had in a season is 4. NFL has had a rash of Achilles issues as well. So the purpose of convening those experts is to try to figure out what's going on. You know, it's interesting. When we look back at the last 10 years, the majority of the Achilles injuries have happened before the All-Star break. Mm. So it's not clear it's the number of games. And as you know, modern NBA players, even when they're not playing games, sometimes in the summer, they're working harder than they are during the season when they're playing 3 games a week. They're often playing every day.
Again, the NBA signed this last year 76, not 6, not 7.6, $76 billion in TV contracts to NBC Peacock, to Amazon, to all these other parties, not to mention still with Disney, ABC, ESPN. You can't turn this basketball season into 60 games or 45 games.
Well, that's why I think he said what he said. It's like, oh, it has nothing to do with the games.
Because, you know, I mean, look, let's keep it real. The NBA has a problem with the perception that no one really hustles till after the All-Star break in the first place. That's why he had to come up with a stupid cockamamie in-season tournament to get people to watch around Christmas time. So Yeah, they got a problem with this because, you know, the athletes are the greatest athletes in the world. They are the show. And when all your stars are dropping like flies, you know, what are you going to do about it? How do you fix it? Because what would any orthopedist say? Less wear and tear, right? Means less games, less work.
You guys remember when Kevin Durant had his Achilles?
Yeah.
And he also had a calf strain. And he tried to play through it because he was with Golden State. And everybody's like, oh, it's the playoffs. Same thing that Halliburton was dealing with. A knee bone connected to the everything, right?
Right.
I just feel like sometimes these injuries, these nagging injuries have led to some of this. But if you're asking me, I don't have an answer, which is why I'm asking you. The problem is, guys, it's going on all across sports, which tells us what exactly Adam Silver said. These guys are working sometimes year-round, all off-season. And, Mike, some of those workouts are tougher than some of the in-season stuff that they do trying to prepare their bodies. And that's kind of what I think. And I don't know where it stops because, again, everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses. If I don't work out like that, Mike, I feel like I'm missing out and I'm not going to be prepared for my season. Pitchers, right? Talk to starting pitchers, and I have. How they work out in the off-season to get their arms ready. Some guys take a couple of weeks off. They do. But a lot of these guys are pitching in January. They're starting to pitch.
That's why, you know, when we talk about baseball pitching and catchers report, and it's like, well, how many damn weeks do you need to get ready? You know, I told you, I've seen Japanese baseball in person. Those guys warm up. They get up like five times during the game. I've got some friends who wound up over in Japan, and it's amazing how they approach it. And guys are like, they're like total rubber arms. They can do it. But here in America, you know, we have kids, the over-specialization. Hell, we got kids getting Tommy John in high school. So it just kind of like, I don't know. It's what was the old phrase you and I used to joke around with, that old soundbite from some. Remember the dude called into our show about, like, I think it was 2015. I'll tell you, Carl, Mike, the players are too muscular.
Too muscular, yes.
So I don't know, man. Maybe they got to be lean, maybe a little more fat content. Less. I don't know. But we do have a breaking down problem with these athletes. You're right. And in the NBA, it's on the heels of this enormous TV package. So, man, there's some definite soul-searching and getting the medical experts, because the last thing anybody wants to do, especially when the Western Conference teams come east or vice versa, and it's happened to you and it's happened to me, well, more me more than you, but when you want to go see the star and he ain't playing.
Yeah.
You know, and look, and that's like the NBA, just like the NHL, you still want to be there. You want to be hear the guys talking. You want to be within, you know, earshot of the court if you can, or at least be in the building. And that's what drives the league. So, curious to see how Silver and his guys figure this one out.
Yeah, and by the way, the NFL's not immune, all right? But we're in, you know, we just finished basketball season. We're in the meat of the baseball season. These are the two sports right now that we're paying the most attention to. Hockey just ended, but this goes across the board. And I think, again, the reasoning has to go back to everybody trying to make sure that they're prepared in this offseason, these offseasons, and they do a lot of stuff. 404-726-0929. Just interesting that we saw it last night with an opponent and a pitcher going down. And I hate it for Griffin Cannon, because Mike's right. He was having a great season. I hate it, you know, not for the Mets. I want to beat them, but I hate it for the kid because he was pitching really well. And I thought he was going to give them a shot, Mike. He pitched two really good innings.
It was my dude that, you know, again, I don't know if he's down here in the parallel universe. Does he get injured? It's a guy, believe me, we need all the arms we can help. We can get for this team, but he's a guy that Alex passed on, and now the Mets, another injury. They've had starting pitchers. They've had bullpen pieces out, and that's why it was important to take 3 out of 4, try to sweep the Mets, and do likewise with the Phillies, because, you know, guys, at some point you're going to realize after the All-Star break, maybe some Braves fans are finally coming to the realization, this is just not our year. This team doesn't hit. You know, it's one thing, Carl, if you got a bunch of guys hitting, then you have some big injuries. Because, like, in 21, you know, Austin Riley was great. You know, Freddie was here. So you could deal with Acuna. That's, you know, it's like, you know, Jeff Francoeur famously said, well, they won a World Series without French, you know, without Acuna. But that team had a lot of elements to
it. You could absorb that injury, and it didn't kill you. I agree. All right, man, we're coming back. We're a 500 team. When we do, he says he's confident that they'll re-sign this star. Find out who that is coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.